You're listening to Thursday Night's Arena. The Irish short story is in rude good health. That's if the last week on Arena is anything to go by. Jen Carson and John Patrick McHugh have both come on the show to tell us about their new books, The Last Resort and Pure Gold. Tonight, it's the turn of Louise Kennedy. With her debut collection, The End of the World is a Cul-de-Sac, which is published today. Louise has won awards for her stories and been shortlisted twice for the prestigious Sunday Times Audible Short Story Prize since beginning to write in only 2014. You may have heard her on Arena in January when she came on to talk about the writer Nora Holt. I'm delighted to say that Louise Kennedy joins me now from Sligo. Congratulations on The End of the World is a Cul-de-Sac, Louise. And it's nice to see that the story we spoke to you about in the winter papers in Bulla also makes an appearance in the collection.
Thank you very much for having me, Kay. So Imbolc is in the collection as well. Yeah, that's right. Along with 14 other stories.
Indeed. So the title story is about a woman called Sarah, the former wife of a Celtic Tiger property developer, who finds herself now living on her own, virtually penniless, in the deserted house. Can you tell us a little bit about Sarah and her fall from grace? And I know you'll read from the story shortly.
Yeah, so the title story, The End of the World is a Cul-de-Sac, is about a woman who lives in a kind of a, in my head, it's like a James Bond kind of Bond villain's mansion overlooking a ghost estate, a sort of little cul-de-sac of semi-detached houses. And she's been abandoned by her developer husband a kind of dwindling bundle of money in a kind of grubby envelope, and is kind of slowly going around the bend. And then she meets a man and has to compromise herself, I guess. So that's what it's about.
Okay, so you're going to read from the very beginning of the story.
The dereliction was almost beautiful. The houses dark against the mauve dawn, pools of buff coloured water glinting briefly as a passing car took the last bend before town. Number 7 was starting to look like the other units, the lawn stringy with brown weeds. The footpath petered out and Sarah landed hard in a puddle, picking her way over broken masonry and loops of cable until she reached the end of the cul-de-sac. The noise was coming from the show house. It looked even worse inside than out. Clots of dung littered the travertine floor. All the doors had been taken, including the front one, which only seemed to emphasise how small the rooms were. The donkey was in the living room by the cavity in the chimney breast where the granite fireplace had been. It was plump and skittish, pastilles of dried sleep at the corners of its eyes. Sarah whispered to it, cajoled, pleaded. She tried shooing it, spreading her arms to drive it out to the hallway. It pawed and snattered and a flume of shit hit the wall behind it. She would have to go and get her neighbour.
That's The End of the World is a Cul-de-Sac, the title, the beginning of the titled story from Louise Kennedy. That theme of the woman either living trapped or managing to carve their own life within the influence of a present or an absent man runs through a lot of the collection, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess it does. I mean, that definitely, it wasn't an intention, but I can see now when I read them that that's definitely a theme, all right, yeah.
Yeah, because there's Trays in Beyond Carthage, for example, and she's going on this trip with her friend, but she's really kind of worried and trying to sort out the problems in her own marriage while she's away.
Mm-hmm. Or escape them, I guess, yeah. So that story is set, it's set on like a kind of ghastly resort in Tunisia in the rain in March. I guess it's just about a woman sort of reckoning with the kind of collapse of her marriage.
In Silhouette is the name of, I think, is it the second or third story?
Yeah, it's the second story.
Yeah, and it's pretty overtly about the past and the troubles. Mm-hmm. Could you introduce us to the woman at the centre of that story? She hints about a man she once saw in Silhouette in a bar.
Yeah, so that story, I suppose that I come from the north originally. It's not really very detectable from my accent anymore, but I come from the north originally. And I suppose You know, one of the big sort of legacy issues of the Troubles, you know, for some people would be the idea of the disappeared. And I just remember being in my car when I was driving. I did an MA in Queens. And when I was in my car one day, I heard on the radio that a search had begun for one of the missing people. And I just remember wondering what it would be like to know what had happened, because somebody must know something, and to not come forward. So I guess that's where the story came from. So it opens with a teenage girl in the 70s getting dressed up to go out to, you know, walk up the road from the farm she lives on to the local pub. And this man, a kind of stranger, walks into a bar, which is probably a bit of a cliche, but yeah, this man comes into the bar who kind of notices her, and yeah, I guess it's just about how that image of him in silhouette stays with her.
Yeah, and you're going to read a section from In Silhouette as well.
So this is from the story, actually. I guess it takes place really over about 40 years, which is probably like breaking a very fundamental rule of short story writing. So this is maybe about 3 years later in 1981, 3 or 4 years later, when this, you know, this teenage girl is now, you know, a young woman, and she is living in London, and she's gone for a drink with the security man from the department store that she works in. Sean finishes his pint in one gulp and crosses the yeasty floral carpet to the gents. The woman at the next table is leaning into her man, pointing at the floor where you've put your white patent leather handbag. You pick it up, root in it, fingers moving over the greasy leather. Thaddy's wing is in lockdown and your mother hasn't seen him for months. You try to imagine your brother in a blanket, his hair matted with shite, but you can't picture him. You take out a lipstick and drag it slowly across your mouth, pressing your lips together when you're done. Then you use it to write four big letters across the side of your bag. Sean appears, hooking at the waistband of his trousers. There's a light on the wall above his head and his face is grey and shiny. He takes quick, light steps to the payphone and lifts the receiver, presumably to ring the woman who made his sandwich. You turn your handbag so the couple at the next table can read it. You've written "bomb" in shade 1981, English rose.
Louise Kennedy reading from In Silhouette. From The End of the World is a cul-de-sac. There is that sense of the truth will out, there, both in Silhouette and in other stories. The things hidden in the past, I think Sparing the Heather is another. The things buried and, well, not forgotten, but thought to be hopefully forgotten, will come to the surface.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, I don't know if that's just... I don't know if that's just about me being older or something. Like, I didn't start to write until I was 47, and it's maybe just about like, I really think that people carry things all of their lives, and I suppose, you know, short stories are you know, I mean, I guess it's quite an intense kind of dramatic effect very often that you're trying to create, and maybe some of the scenarios are not. You know, there. I mean, I guess in some ways they're not sort of everyday scenarios, but I just think that, you know, I like that idea of people sort of carrying things that they can't really escape.
Now, we've mentioned that you didn't start writing until 2014, and that you had a whole other career before that.
Yeah.
So what did you do and how did you come to write at that particular point?
Well, when I left school, I did a social science degree and thought that I might end up being a social worker, but that didn't happen. And I went to work in London, and I had a ghastly job in an American merchant bank in the city, where I was literally putting microfiche in alphabetical order 40 hours a week for about a year for terrible money. And so I didn't stay very long in London, and I came home and borrowed money and did a cordon bleu course. So I suppose I was pretty much cooking and running restaurants for nearly 30 years, about 28 years or something. And in 2014, I was asked to join a writing group by a friend, and like, I'm not the sort of person who joins things, so I think I laughed at first and refused, and I mean, she kept at me for a little while, and I must have had some kind of curiosity, because I went along and agreed to try and write a short story. and worked on it for about 5 weeks. But I think that really from probably by the time I got to the end of the first paragraph, I didn't really want to do anything else. So, yeah, so I've just been trying to write ever since.
Now, after writing this wonderful collection, can you give us what is some insight into the short story? Not how to do it, but maybe, you know, what have you found about doing them in your own intense writing of them?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I guess I started off trying to write short stories. So that's all I was doing for about, I don't know, since, you know, probably for about 5 years. And then 2 years ago, I wasn't well and I was off work, but I wasn't so sick that I couldn't write. So forced myself to get a draft of a novel down. And it was an idea that I'd been exploring, beforehand. But I forced myself to get a draft of a novel down. And I think it maybe it's best, you know, I can only talk about it in comparison with writing a novel. I think there's something really... I think short stories are much more kind of fragile or delicate things or something. So I think that it's maybe about trying to set a tone at the very start and trying to maintain that, to create some sort of effect. I think that, when they're done properly and all of the, all of this kind of tat is taken away with editing, I think they can be really taut and affecting. So yeah, I think I love them. I think they're tremendous form.
And you have a novel coming out, When I Move to the Sky. So
yeah.
Is that novel that you were working on, or is this a new novel?
No, that's the novel that I was working on. So so that is my editor and myself are going to be working at Bloomsbury. Alexis are going to be working on edits on the novel for I guess the next few months, and then it'll go to copy edits and stuff. So I think we're hoping for next year.
Very good. Well, we look forward to that. But in the meantime, everybody can read The End of the World is a Cul-de-Sac. It's published by Bloomsbury. Louise Kennedy appears at the West Cork Literary Festival event on the 6th of April, along with Jen Carson, Lucy Colwell and Adrian Duncan and John Patrick McHugh. Further details from westcorkmusic.ie.